From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. We're broadcasting from the heart of our nation's capital. We bring you the latest insights, analysis, and interviews on the most pressing issues that are facing you and your family. So for the next hour, we're going to navigate the conflict and the complexities of our nation's capital with clarity, integrity, and a relentless pursuit of truth. Washington Watch starts now.
Today, as you all know, we abstained on a UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire in Gaza till the end of Ramadan and the release of all the hostages. Our vote does not, I repeat, does not represent a shift in our policy.
That was White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby explaining why the U.S. abstained from voting on a UN Security Council approval of a ceasefire in Israel's war with Hamas. Now, the U.S. could have vetoed the resolution. Despite the claim that it does not reflect a shift in U.S. policy, it undoubtedly impacts the dynamics of the conflict. It also raises questions about the future of the relationship between the U.S. and Israel. We'll delve into the implications of this decision shortly with Texas Congressman Pete Sessions. Then the cancel culture is spreading like a cancer. Yesterday's reactions from NBC's commentators to the network hiring former RNC chairwoman Ronna McDaniel as a political commentator shows.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract.
That was NBC's Chuck Todd yesterday on Meet the Press. We're going to deal with the donkey in the room later when Tim Graham of the Media Research Center is here. There's several former Democrats working at NBC, but there's not room for a conservative-leaning Republican, only Democrats and rhinos. And next up, First Lady Jill Biden spoke over the weekend at the Human Rights Campaign annual gala, drawing comparisons between those advocating against pornographic and racial radical gender ideology in public school textbooks to Nazi book burners.
History teaches us that democracies don't disappear overnight. They disappear slowly, subtly, silently. A book ban, a court decision, a don't say gay law. Before World War II, I'm told, Berlin was the center of LGBTQ culture in Europe. One group of people loses their rights, and then another, and then another. Until one morning you wake up and you no longer live in a democracy.
Well, unfortunately, public education is more focused on the left's radical indoctrination than educating children about history. Many may actually think she knows what she's talking about. We're going to set the record straight with Dr. Dave Brad, Dean of the School of Business at Liberty University. And on the legal front, tomorrow the Supreme Court will hear oral arguments in the Biden administration's abortion by mail case.
This administration will continue to stand by FDA's independent approval and regulation of mifepristone as safe and effective.
That, of course, was White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre earlier today. Now, this case holds significant implications for the health of women and, of course, the sanctity of human life, as now more than 60% of all abortions are through the abortion pill. And lastly, we'll explore Saturate USA, an initiative to spread the gospel door to door across the country. We'll be joined by Scott Baller to shed light on this movement and its impacts on communities around the nation and how you can be a part of it. As we dive into today's issues, remember the bedrock principles that guide us here at Washington Watch: faith, family, and freedom. And these are not just words, but the very values that form the foundation of our nation. So earlier today, as mentioned, the Biden administration allowed a United Nations Security Council resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza to pass when it declined to vote, or declined to veto, rather, the resolution and abstained from voting altogether. Now, despite vetoing previous resolutions, the Biden administration insists abstaining from this vote, allowing it to take effect, reflects neither a shift in policy nor a concession to the drumbeat of the political pressure from the left in the U.S. What does this mean for Israel's war against Hamas? Joining me now to discuss this and much more, Congressman Pete Sessions. He serves on the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability, including the Subcommittee on National Security, the Border, and Foreign Affairs, as well as the House Financial Services Committee. He represents the 17th Congressional District of Texas. Congressman Sessions, welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to see you.
Tony, thank you very much. It's a delight to be with you and to hear the clarity by which your entire network speaks.
So let's talk about this. The U.S. abstained from voting, which allowed this resolution to pass. Over the last probably five decades, the United States has over 50 times used that veto to protect our key ally of Israel. Rarely have we seen the United States step aside and allow these resolutions that tie the hands of Israel to go forward, only under the Obama administration and now under the Biden administration. Tell us what this resolution does and how this is a really shift in priorities for the United States.
Thank you very much, Tony. As a matter of fact, it is a shift of what I believe priorities. Priorities have always been, during my 25 years in Congress, have been about making sure that we supported Israel, to make sure that when they had a dangerous neighborhood, we were there. But that also meant that we had to protect them in international bodies like the UN. And this shift or change that just occurred is most interesting because we act like we really don't understand that Israel gets attacked, attacked, and attacked by the Palestinians. And this is where the Palestinians count on the flavor of international pressure to stop the Israelis from seeing all the tunnels, from seeing all of the things, the war machinery that they have. And while Israel has made sure that they were attempting to move forward in this, there are key areas that they have not gotten to yet. And so this was a resolution to stop for the rest of Ramadan. It was going to allow or at least they've stated that they would want the prisoners to be let go. We'll find out whether the Palestinians want to do that, because up to now they have not been very successful at that. But what the United States has done is essentially, I guess, split the baby, which might be a term. They're trying to play both sides of the coin, but it's very obvious to me, and I think anybody in Washington, that the Democratic Party has been infiltrated by not only the Palestinians, but this issue that is really where their whole party is. And so the president's trying to struggle with that in his foreign policy.
This is quite remarkable because this has long been, as you said, in your 25 years in Congress, a bipartisan issue of supporting Israel as a stabilizing force in the Middle East. That clearly has changed under this administration. We saw it begin to shift with the Obama administration, but clearly rapidly evolving here. Let's talk about the implications of this resolution. It's a non-binding resolution. So what does that mean?
Well, it is non-binding, and it means also, as you stated at the top of your show, that if the United States had chosen to stop this, those five permanent members of the Security Council have to vote unanimously with the other 10 chosen countries to make sure that it passes. But a non-binding means that they do not have to live up to this. It is simply what the UN is stating as the agreement. So once again, trying to have it both ways. And that is where I think the United States abdicating our vote by not voting made a mistake. It should have been a binding resolution to demand that the hostages be released, that the war conditions come to a close, that people be allowed to come in and see each of these areas that they still, I believe, are operating war machinery from, and to go back to where the money would not be distributed anymore out of the UN if it's going to run a war-type machine that they've got. But that's not what the resolution was, and so it was non-binding because no one wants to hold the Palestinians accountable.
Are you concerned, Congressman Sessions, that this will only fuel the anti-Semitism that we've seen here in the United States and elsewhere?
Well, you have to see this for what it is, and you can walk the halls of Congress where we are allowed to post signs outside of our offices, and virtually every single Republican office has a Pray for Israel. We stand behind Israel, just as we do the Capitol Hill police. Almost every single Republican office has those two signs out front. You cannot find those on Democrat offices. So what this is a clear attempt to see that the Democratic Party has not only given up, they've been overrun in this matter. And the casualty is that Israel is no longer a bipartisan issue.
So let's talk about the implications of that alliance between the United States and Israel. Very strategic, not just for Israel's benefit, but for ours as well, because they are a stabilizing force in the Middle East. I was just there a week before last. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had a delegation that had been dispatched to come here to the United States. He's pulled them back after the United States abstained from voting today, clearly unhappy with the actions of the United States. This is putting what was already a strained relationship, as I had a meeting with him, spoke with him while I was there. This further strains that relationship. Where might this lead?
Well, it also further strains the relationship that the, what I would say, Jewish leaders have with each other also, because they are being what I believe is torn apart also over the Palestinian issue. The real problem that we have is we have been able to maintain peace in the Middle East. As you know, President Trump offered the Camp David Accords and other moving forward from Jimmy Carter forward, the Camp David Accords, all the way to at least what was through the Trump presidency, where we kept the semblance that it was a bipartisan issue, where we worked on the issues, had confidence that we could make headway. And then, as you know, during the Obama administration, we had a huge issue about whether the Iranians were going to be allowed to have the bomb or not, and the ability to attack Israel or anywhere else, including the United States, became an issue that was wrapped up, that was then passed on to President Trump, who I believe handled very successfully, not that issue, but the moving forward to make sure that other countries, including Saudi Arabia and others, who said, we do want to see a pathway to peace. We do want to make sure that we can work with each other. And so these five or six other countries did do just that. And then President Biden has turned out.
Right. I mean, elections have consequences, and not just for us domestically, but for the entire world. Congressman Pete Sessions, always great to see you. Thanks so much for joining us, and a belated happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
All right, folks, all the more reason we need to be praying for Israel. Text the word Israel to 67742. That's Israel to 67742, and join us in prayer. Stay with us. We're back after this.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. All right. Recent tension at the legacy media network NBC regarding the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel. Now, this demonstrates once again not only the left's cancel culture furor, but also the extreme lengths that legacy media will go to prevent their audiences from hearing opinions outside their echo chamber. I would describe this, the cancel culture is like a cancer. It's the cancer culture of cancel. It just spreads. And it is, you know, it started with actually groups like ours, people who held to a historical and biblical definition of marriage and human sexuality. That was, can't have that. But now it has spread to pretty much everything that's conservative. If you're not a apologist for the left and their ideology, you're not welcome. I mean, at NBC, the uproar is even taking place on air, as NBC's anchor Chuck Todd publicly attacked the leadership of his own network on Meet the Press yesterday. Now, let me just play another clip of what he had to say. Play clip number 8, please.
And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination.
So it's okay. And now, by the way, so Chuck Todd used to be kind of a Democrat. He worked in Democratic campaigns. You have George Stephanopoulos, who was in the White House under the Clinton administration. You have Jill Psaki, who was at the White House prior to Karine Jean-Pierre as the press secretary in the White House. So if you're a Democrat or a rhino, it's okay. But if you are a conservative-leaning Republican, it's not okay. And this should be very, very revealing to people as to what is going on in the media. No longer is it debates. When I started over 20 years ago, here at the Family Research Council, almost every week, I would be on MSNBC on Chris Matthews' show, Hardball, debating with somebody else. Usually it was 3-on-1 or something like that, but that was fine. We had debates. That doesn't happen anymore. When was the last time you saw a liberal and a conservative actually debating ideas? Doesn't happen. Part of it is that the left, and it's different than liberals. The left is different than liberals, okay? Classic liberalism, I can deal with that. The leftists, you can't deal with because they will not have a conversation. They don't want a conversation. They don't want to be challenged because they cannot defend their ideas. And that's what we see here with Chuck Todd and the talking heads at MSNBC. They're losing their heads over the fact that a conservative is going to join the ranks as just a political commentator, not a talking head, just a political commentator that will come on, a paid political commentator that will come on during the course of this election cycle. So think about that for just a moment. They don't want someone like Ronna McDaniel on the air at NBC. Now, I do commend the leadership for actually hiring her. Maybe it was just to kind of show some impartiality when it comes to politics. But this should tell you a whole lot about these reporters and commentators that are on these legacy networks. They do not want your voice to be heard. They do not want someone who shares your conservative perspective. That's why you just need to turn them off and find alternative news and information sources like Washington Watch, like the Washington Stand, and there are others. I mean, Newsmax. I watch Newsmax, and I would encourage you to tune into Newsmax and watch. They give a more balanced perspective of the news. It's conservative. I mean, it is conservative. But you will hear voices that you identify with, people who have worldviews that you can agree with. This is what has happened in the legacy media. They are hostile to anything that is in alignment with a conservative, certainly a biblical worldview. And this is their reaction to it. So I strongly, strongly encourage you to be finding alternative sources of news and information, especially as we come into an election cycle like this. They are going to do everything they can to suppress conservative turnout. And they'll do that in a multitude of ways. But the fact that they are throwing a fit by the fact that NBC hired Ronna McDaniel as a contributor, a paid political contributor to be on during this election cycle, tells you a whole lot. Let me play one more clip of what Chuck Todd had to say. Clip 7.
Look, let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract.
So where is his answers coming from? What is motivating what he has to say? He's paid by NBC. He has a clear Democratic political operative background, as George Stephanopoulos does, as Psaki has, and others at the network. Look, we all come at this with different perspectives. In fact, up until about 15 years ago, it's what made America strong. We came together, we had different views, but we would arrive at a consensus. Why? Because we had conversations. Yes, we would have debates, but we would arrive at a consensus. This is what is so dangerous about the left. They want to shut down all conversations. They want to silence. They want to cancel any voice that runs counter to theirs. Ultimately, they want to silence you. That's why we can't let them. Turn them off and turn on other alternative news sources. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to take a look at something the First Lady had to say. She spoke before the LGBT activist group, the Human Rights Campaign in Los Angeles yesterday, and compared those protecting children from pornography to Nazis. Yeah. Don't go away.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Leela Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Yesterday, First Lady Jill Biden delivered the keynote address at the Los Angeles fundraising event for the Human Rights Campaign, which is kind of like the foremost LGBTQ activist group. Now, the headlines today mentioned that pro-Hamas hecklers interrupted the First Lady's speech before being removed by security. That's just funny. But what they didn't highlight, what the legacy media didn't highlight, was that Joe Biden's compared the removing of pornography from schools, public schools, you know, your tax dollars going to promote these textbooks that are pornographic, to book burners in Nazi Germany. Yeah. Joining me now to discuss this is Dr. Dave Bratt. He previously served in Congress from Virginia. He's now the dean of the Liberty School of Business. Dr. Bratt, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, great to be on. Thanks, Tony.
So, you know, Dave, we spend so much time, not we, but in public schools indoctrinating children. They don't teach them history anymore. So most people probably believe she knew what she was talking about.
Yeah, no, that's right. The importance of the Judeo-Christian tradition to all the liberal values that the liberals used to like are crucial. You know, in case they missed the memo, the Protestants founded Harvard, Yale, Princeton, all the publics, all trained in, all believed in modern democracy, the republic, the Constitution, the rule of law, and the Judeo-Christian tradition uniquely came up with the entire human rights apparatus and language of the modern period after the Enlightenment. And so the confusion is, what exact rights are we talking about, right? The Constitution was set up to protect exactly minority rights, but the rights back then were life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The question these days is who rights get to trump other rights? The Christians benevolently gave up their assertion to power. We gave away the universities for free to be fair players. Well, and said, let's just do Aristotle. But the left shows no willingness. They want to impose their will, and they expect that Christians should give up their rights. So this is the modern period.
Let's talk about her analogy, her reference to Nazi Germany and the book burning, which was actually driven by students on college campuses who were burning Jewish books, other books that they declared un-German. And it was driven by anti-Semitism. I mean, that's what we see on college campuses today.
I have
a hard time trying to wrap my head around the idea that parents that don't want their children indoctrinated with gender confusion and pornographic material are somehow like Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And so that right there is a great point, right? At Harvard, that's precisely the point, the rights of Jewish students just to be able to go to class today. And then when you want to look at the attack of the brown shirts back under Hitler, that was all brought to you by the big state. Well, us conservatives, us the constitutional republic-loving conservatives, we want a small state, so that can never happen. So you have the separation of powers in the House and the Senate and then the executive and the judiciary, all protecting the rights of minorities so that that can never happen again. But now the left is precisely the party in favor of big government, and they're the only ones I know that have done a massive cancel, right? All of the Magnificent Seven, the big tech firms are all run by avowed leftists. None of them are big Republican donors or conservatives anymore. And so the American people just haven't caught up with that, right? They think Republicans are all the rich, rich fat cats. Not anymore. Things are inverted. And this election cycle is going to see a huge, probably populist move versus the globalists, not your old standard Republican versus Democrat.
You know, this is part of the danger of not knowing history, is that they can cherry pick these illustrations, these, you know, well-known tidbits from history, but completely, it's like people who go through and pull a verse out of the Bible, taking it completely out of context and applying it.
Yeah. No, that's right. And I mean, the amazing thing is they're getting away with this, right? The last few election cycles, I thought it was getting so crazy already. I thought the American people surely wake up. But in the last few election cycles, that did not happen. So we'll see. It's on the American people. Now, when you've got the mayor of New York City saying that the border invasion is ruining my city, along with the mayor of Chicago, and you've got the African-American community, Hispanic community, the young people now on the World Happiness Index fell from the top 10 to 67th happiest in the world, right? So something's gone very wrong, and I don't get the mainstream mom and dads out there better get to work or we're going to be living in a strange land.
Yeah, and hopefully as that pendulum swings, it will continue to swing and they won't snatch it down as what I think they're trying to do.
Right.
Dr. Dave Bratt, always great to talk with you. You're out of time. Good to see you again, my friend.
You too, Tony. Thanks. Great show.
So folks, it really comes down to, number one, knowing truth. And it kind of ties back into our previous discussion about legacy media. We need to know the truth, and we need to make sure our children are getting a solid education. And I believe the best way to do that is at home, certainly not within the public school system. That is indoctrinating our children and allowing the First Lady of the United States to misapply history to try to advance a godless agenda. Yes, that's what the whole LGBTQ agenda and the human rights campaign is about. It's a godless agenda that confuses our children and leads them down a destructive path. All right, coming up, we're going to highlight one ministry that's working hard to help churches reach their neighbors with the gospel. That's next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. A lot more straight ahead.
Christians must be sure to faithfully think about the issues that have taken our culture and many of our churches by storm from a biblical perspective. Family Research Council's David Clawson, along with co-authors Denny Burke and Colin Smothers, released a new book, Male and Female, He Created Them, a study on gender, sexuality, and marriage to help Christians better grasp the Bible's teaching about these issues. This study presents a biblical view of homosexuality, transgenderism, and marriage. With this new resource, readers will be given guidance on specific specific questions related to preferred pronouns, identity, intersex conditions, and other matters that our churches must be discipling their members to respond to with love and biblical conviction. As part of the study, readers have access to supplemental videos by Dr. Albert Moeller, Dr. Heath Lambert, Reverend H.B. Charles, Dr. Christopher Yuan, Dr. Rosaria Butterfield, and others that expand and elaborate the themes of each chapter. To purchase a copy, go to hecreatedthem.org.
Today we find that global persecutions of Christians is growing more menacing every year. Family Research Council's Lila Gilbert, Ariel Del Turco, and Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin's book, Heroic Faith, shares personal stories from those who have endured religious persecution and gives a close look at the dire situations Christians often face due to dangerous and sometimes deadly opposition to their faith. The book's true stories of persistence and faithfulness amidst crisis offer inspiration and hope. Heroic Faith also provides insights into the ideologies driving the hostility and persecution, what steps the U.S. government might take to help, and how readers can best respond to the struggles of the faithful. It is critical for us to learn from our brothers and sisters who are suffering deeply and to do whatever we can to help. You can get your copy of Heroic Faith wherever books are sold or by going to frc.org/heroicfaith. Again, that's frc.org/heroicfaith. Men are constantly told that there is no place for their thoughts and concerns about abortion. However, this attitude ignores the fact that both women and men are deeply and personally affected by abortion. Furthermore, one does not have to be a woman to know that abortion ends the life of an innocent, unborn child. Every man has a role to play in protecting unborn lives and supporting the mothers in their families and greater community, which is why FRC's Center for Human Dignity has released a resource titled A Man's Guide to Standing for Life. This resource was created to help men positively address the topic of life. This guide will equip men with phrases to utilize or avoid, as well as practical tips for helping to protect life and the expectant mother or unborn child he knows. Every man has the opportunity to be an unborn baby's hero by stepping in to support a mother and speaking up for her child's life. Get this free guide at frc.org/prolifemen to learn more about the important role men play in protecting unborn lives.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Good to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Be sure and check it out. Lots of resources there for you. And as I mentioned at the top of the program, Praying for Israel. If you'd like to join us in the effort to pray for Israel, text the word Israel to 67742. Our word for today comes from Numbers chapter 27. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." And the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him." In this, we see what is essential for great leaders. First, Moses was about to die. He wasn't going into the promised land, but yet his concern was the future of the people he had been leading for 40 years. He asked God to give them a leader to keep them from going astray, something they were prone to do. He knew that well. The leader was Moses' assistant, Joshua. And what qualifying trait does God point out? He had the Spirit of God within him. A concern for others, and a consecration from God. That's what we need to look for in leaders. To find out more about our journey through the Bible, go to frc.org/Bible, or if you'd like to join me each day, each weekday, for a daily devotional, text the word Bible, that's Bible, to 67742. That's 67742, the word Bible. It's one text that can transform your life. This Holy Week, we're reminded we live in a world crying out for the message of the gospel. They may not know it, but they're desperately in need of revival. A North Carolina-based ministry, Saturate USA, has developed a program for churches, local churches, to saturate their local zip codes with a gospel-based care package to connect with their community and spread the message of Jesus Christ. Now, this is a group coming alongside the churches, not wanting to do the work for the churches, simply trying to help the churches do their work of evangelism. Joining me now to discuss this is Scott Baller. He's the Chief Operating Officer of Saturate USA. Scott, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate you having us on again.
Well, absolutely. As we move into this week leading up to Resurrection Sunday, you know, this will be one of the biggest days. It's what many pastors describe as the Super Bowl Sunday of churches. Folks will be coming in, maybe the only time for the year. But there's an opportunity to reach people on a systematic basis, drawing them into the church by reaching them with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you, in the ministry of Saturate USA, have a game plan. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a God-sized game plan, one that he really laid on the heart of a bunch of the founders of this organization. And it's exactly what you said. It's to get out, get our church out on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, and sharing the good news of the gospel with our neighbors. The same people we drive by every day when we go to work, the same people we see on Saturday mowing their lawn, those same people we want to get out and get to know them, let them know we love them, pray for them. Prayer is a huge piece to it. And then have the opportunity to share the gospel. So it's a very simple thing. You know, I went to church this last Sunday, and my pastor gave me a card to invite people to church. What I want to see is us do that every week as we're just in our normal daily lives. And so Saturate USA is a free opportunity for churches to get, like you said, a saturation pack, which has a DVD in it and a little booklet that explains how to have a relationship with God. And the key to it is we have one requirement. The church has to put their local information in the packets. We're wanting people to get back to the church. And so it's pretty simple. They adopt their zip code. We send the stuff out totally free of charge. There's not a single penny anyone has to pay. And we just ask them to get out there and love their neighbors.
So this is a tool. It's a ministry tool that you're giving to the local church to help them identify the people that they can go and knock on their doors and have a conversation with them, which could lead to inviting them to come to church.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, we have the same values as most of the people on Washington Watch, and that is that we're conservative and we believe that our country needs to get back to the values that we once thought were very important, or the majority of the people did. And we know that's only done through one person, and that's Jesus Christ. And so really, our goal, as the Bible talks about, is to plant the seed. The Holy Spirit will do the rest. And so this is a tool that allows people to plant that seed. And it's you know, a great opportunity. I know churches, a lot of them are hurting right now because of post-COVID and the things that went on there. But this is a great opportunity to them for not only to affect their neighbors, but to let people know they're there. And so we just have story after story of great things that the Lord does, the Holy Spirit does in people's hearts just by us taking that one easy step and just planting that seed.
So, Scott, the goal of Saturate USA is to reach 120,000 households by 2027. You're a little over 30% of the way there. So let's just start here. How can people find out more? Let's say a pastor is listening here and said, hey, that's pretty interesting, or a missions director. How do they find out more?
Really simple. It's just you go to saturateusa.org. And there's a form you fill out. It will take you 10 seconds. It's going to get your phone number, your name, and your church. And within a couple of days, you'll get a call from one of our staff. They will explain the process in detail with you, probably go through our video that's on our website, and just make sure that you fully understand, you know, what we're asking. And then at that point, usually within about 14 days, you'll get all your packets sent to you, along with we have customized maps that we provide that allows it, kind of breaks up your zip code so it's easier to manage. And then from that point on, it, you know, we're there to support you. And so, you know, the churches will get together and start putting their packs together and doing getting out in the neighborhoods.
Okay, Scott, I got to ask you this question because I know that there's some pastors thinking about this that are hearing this. All right, what's the catch? I mean, you're just giving us this. What do you want?
The catch is this: we love our country. We love Christ, we love our church, and we want more people to be there. That's the key. And so this is a group of people, we're privately funded, that have paid for all this and allowing this to happen. You'll find out that it's even hard for people when they get the packets to even find anything out about Saturate USA, because we want them if they have questions, to go to the local church about it. And that's the key. We know that, you know, the church's role is to disciple us and to get out there and evangelize. And so this is just a tool to allow them to do that. And I know that's hard to believe. There's always this, it's free, a catch, but there is no catch. And we're even, you know, willing, if need be, if you can't even afford to put the information in from your church, we'll even help provide that for you as well for free.
Well, I know many of the individuals that were a part of forming this, and I would describe it this way, Scott, that, you know, as Paul says, one body, many members. We all have different giftings. We have different resources and skills and talents that we bring to the process. There are some of those who have the gift of giving. They've been successful in business, but have the same passion that all of us should have as followers of Christ, and that is to tell the good news, to see others come to the freedom that is found only in Jesus Christ. And that's what this is. That's simply what it is. I've looked at it. I know it. We've talked about it. I've talked to your father about it. And I think it's exciting. It's a great tool for the churches to get outside the walls of the church, knock on their neighbors' doors, show them that they care about them, they love them. And, you know, Scott, my experience, and I want to ask you about some of the experiences that you've gotten back, the reports back, but my experience is no one has ever, I've never had anyone turn down prayer. Can I pray for you? I've never, I mean, I've prayed for, you know, presidents and prime ministers all the way down to grass cutters and anything else and everything in between. People want and desire someone else to show that they care about them by praying for them.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, that's the neat thing, too, is you're going door to door, you're walking through your neighborhood, and you're praying for that house. And so I'll give you just a quick story. Just recently, within the last 2 months, had a grandfather, and his son had been praying for him for a long time, wanted him to, you know, go to church, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And, you know, he had worked on him and just nothing was happening. He prayed, "Hey, Lord, please just bring something to my father that'll open his eyes." And had that prayer. A day later, a Saturate USA volunteer from one of the churches dropped a packet off. The father looked at the packet, looked up the church. This group actually was a pretty neat story because there was 12 churches working together. So they all put the list of all 12 churches in there. And he went to one of the churches, long story short, accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior. And, you know, his life is transformed forever.
So here is a plan that's not just a plan. It is a program that is thought out. It's been implemented. It's been tested. It's been tried. It works. It's just a matter of the church saying, yeah, we have a heart for our community and we want to reach out. And here's the resource to do it.
Yeah, and you know, it's simple. We see so many churches, it'll take one motivated individual in the church that goes to the pastor and says, you know, I think we should do this. And, you know, I'll lead it, I'll spearhead it. And it's that simple. And we see churches with, you know, 50 people in them do a zip code of 8,000. And I've seen huge churches do, you know, 4 or 5 zip codes. And it's just a great opportunity. You know, Tony, it's amazing whenever I'm serving like the Lord did when he was here on earth, and you're serving other people, you think you're doing something for them. And what always happens to me is my heart gets touched more than I think theirs is. And that's the greatest thing about going out and sharing the gospel, is you're blessing people out there, but you will not believe how much the Lord will bless you as well through that process, and the friends and the lives touched that'll happen. And it's just an amazing thing. And, you know, our country right now, we need Christ. Yeah. We need him. We need the Lord more than any time in our history, right?
I mean, the side benefits of reaching people for Christ, which is our primary purpose in mission, is that we get a nation too. When people's lives are transformed by the truth, they see things differently. You know, my family's an example of that. My family came to Christ when I was a young child. So it has a tremendous impact on individuals, their families, but the effect is national. Now, you brought up something, Scott, that I think is very important that I want to underscore here. because pastors always think, oh, I don't need something else. I've got so many programs, so many things. This is something, as you pointed out, a layman can get a hold of and say, hey, pastor, here's the whole plan. I'll be the leader. I'll take this. You don't have to worry about it. I'll do everything under your authority, but it's all laid out. Here's what we'll do. Let me lead it.
Yeah, and it's amazing. You know, it can be the youth groups. We see youth groups all the time, Tony, taking this and going with it. And it's amazing, these high school kids and middle school kids and college kids getting out there, and they are excited to do this. You know, provide them some free pizza, and it's amazing. They'll do anything. But, you know, it's amazing when you have a high school kid come by your house and you've been living there for a long time and you realize, hey, he's doing this just because he loves you and because he cares about you. It can have a huge impact. And, you know, the last thing for the pastors I always say is it's always this, well, you know, maybe we'll do it next year. Well, let me just a quick story here. I'll make it short about why there's a sense of urgency with this. There was a couple took their neighborhood, their Sunday school class took their neighborhood in Florida. They decided we're going to drop these off first. We're going to pray through the neighborhood, drop them off, and then we're going to follow up a week or two later. And so they did this process. They walked the neighborhood, prayed, dropped the packets off, and then a couple weeks later they stopped back by. And they stopped back by this house. They came to the door and said, hey, we're with the local church. We dropped off a packet. We're just following up. I want to know, is there anything we've been praying for you? Is there anything? And the lady that came to the door kind of got emotional. And she said, I need to let you know, I just appreciate you guys so much for doing this. My husband had cancer, and we actually got the pack, and he actually watched the DVD and he accepted Christ, and he passed away 3 days ago. And so, you know, the impact is huge. I mean, the impact on that man's life is for eternity. And so I just think there is a sense of urgency. We just don't know what that neighbor or what that person down the street's doing, and they need to hear the message now.
Oh, that's so powerful. Scott, I want to thank you for taking time to join us today. And I want to encourage, if your church needs to be involved in some way. If you don't have an outreach ministry, here's one it's ready-made for you. So just, you can go to TonyPerkins.com. There's links there, or Saturate USA. And find out more about how Scott and his team can help you and your church reach your community. Scott, thanks so much for being with us today, and appreciate the great work you guys are doing.
Thanks, Tony. Keep up the good work there as well. Appreciate you.
All right, Scott Maurer with Saturate USA. This is a great program, and it's all put together for you at the local church. So pastors, lay leaders, get a passion for your community, and here's a tool. Okay, final thing as we head into tomorrow. Tomorrow, the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments in U.S. Food and Drug Administration versus the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. This is the FDA kind of removing all of the protections on the abortion pill. In fact, this is what is helping the Biden administration do abortions through the mail. They want to circumvent state pro-life laws and be able to send these pills through the mail, removing all types of oversight, medical connections, you know, the women having supervision, because there's health implications here for the women, serious health implications, obviously for the unborn baby as well. Be praying for that. That is tomorrow. Now, we'll be talking about it tomorrow here on Washington Watch. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you once again with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is brought to you by Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. Portions of the show discussing candidates are brought to you by Family Research Council Action. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.